तथाश्रय वीर्यथा संग्रनत्याखर व्रथार अज्ञा सिद्धांत सन्मानी. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the potency of the shelter of his lotus feet, even a fool can collect the valuable jewels of conclusive truth from the minds of the revealed scriptures. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nitananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Tritiya slokera arata kaila vivaran, chaturta slokera arata shuna bhakta gan. I have given purport of the third verse. Now, O devotees, please listen to the meaning of the fourth with full attention.
Anarpita charim chirat karuna yavatanita khalo samarpayitam unathojvalarasam swabhakti sriyam hari purata sundaradyutikadamba sandipita sadahridaya kandare
May that Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before. The most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a quotation from the Vidagdha Madhava, a drama compiled and edited by Srila Rupa Goswami.
Purna Bhagavan Krishna Vajendra Kumar Goloke Brajerasaha Nitya Vihar.
Lord Krishna, the son of King of Braja, is the Supreme Lord. He eternally enjoys transcendental pastimes in his eternal abode, Goloka, which includes Brajadham. Report. In the previous chapter, it has been established that Krishna, the son of Vajendra, the King of Braja, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead with six opulences. He eternally enjoys transcendentally variegated opulences on his planet, which is known as Goloka. The eternal pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual planet, Goloka, are called aprakrat, or unmanifested pastimes, because they are beyond the purview of the conditioned souls. Lord Krishna is always present everywhere. But when he is not present before our eyes, he is said to be aprakat, or unmanifested. Prakat is when the Lord manifests himself as he has done 5,000 years back. The aprakat became prakat. Krishna is everywhere. He is in it, everything. But premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, only if one has transcendental vision can one see him, does he reveal himself. But sometimes out of his causeless mercy, he even reveals himself to everyone. He revealed himself to Kamsa. He revealed himself to Shishupal. They did not see him in the same way as gopis or the Brijvasis. They saw him according to their particular consciousness. You see, Krishna is everywhere. Krishna is in everything. If you look at Krishna, just like in the wrestling arena, according to how everyone's consciousness was, Krishna was appearing in a different way. Kamsa saw him as cruel death. The young ladies saw him as the most beautiful, young, charming man. The Brijbasis saw him, Sakas, as a friend. Ananda Maharaj saw him as a beloved child. The yogi saw him as the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart. The jnani saw him as the supreme Brahman. The devotee saw him as the supreme object of all of their love and worship. And the Janwar and Mustika saw him as them as powerful wrestlers. So Krishna manifests himself according to our consciousness. But when he appeared on this earth, the unmanifest did become manifest. Now some people have a misconception of this idea, that they say when the aprakat becomes prakat, what this means is the impersonal becomes personal, the formless takes on form. Because the Vedas do explain that the aprakat, which is the eternal aspect of the Lord, becomes prakat when he comes to this world. So what they say is this means that the impersonal takes on personality, the formless takes on form. But here, there is a different understanding, a higher understanding, that Krishna is personally present in Goloka. And Krishna is personally present everywhere. But he only makes him, that is aprakat, when he is personally present, but we cannot perceive him due to having material vision. When he manifests himself before our vision, then he becomes prakat. Just like recently we were in Vrindavan. Such a wonderful yatra we had in Vrindavan. We were there for almost 3 weeks. And for the first 2 weeks, our doctors were performing these cataract surgeries, and all of the devotees were helping. Even the brahmacharis were helping by cooking prasad, by caring for patients, by having Harinam Kirtan everywhere throughout the day, throughout the night. So these cataracts are a covering to the eye, where your eye is all right. And the object of your vision is all right, but there's something between where the good eye cannot perceive the object. That is called a cataract. And to remove the cataract means to simply allow the eye to see without this impediment, this obstruction. So, in Vrindavan, we can understand the Nitya Leela, that Krishna is eternally manifesting his Leela in Vrindavan. It is not that when we go to these places, like we go to Kaliyaharada, or we go to Keshighat, or Vamsivat, it is not that these places have some historical legend that took place 5,000 years ago. It is true. According to what is spoken by Shukadeva Goswami in the Bhagavatam, he is explaining what took place 5,000 years ago. But it is eternally taking place. Krishna never leaves the Vamsivat tree. Krishna never stops killing Keshi. These past times, Krishna's Leela was everywhere. And it is because of a cataract on our eye that we're only seeing dust, and we're seeing old buildings, and we're seeing trees that have no leaves, and we're thinking, well, this is why Krishna is not. The aprakat and the prakat. Aprakat means Krishna is there personally, but he is not revealing himself to us because of the cataract over our spiritual vision. When that cataract is removed, then the aprakat becomes prakat. He reveals himself. In another sense, the eternal spiritual world in Goloka is aprakat,
which means the personality of Godhead with all of his divine lila and all its variegatedness cannot be perceived in Goloka because of our material vision, but that aprakat becomes prakat in this material world in order to attract us back to his divine abode. And it is said that one must see through hearing. One must see through the ears, not through the eyes. When we hear the lila of the Lord, we can factually witness the lila of the Lord. We can see through our ears, because there's no difference between the sound vibration and the actual pastime. When we hear that Krishna is dancing with gopis, when we hear that he is stealing butter from Jashoda Mai, when we hear that he is killing the demon Trinavarta, actually we are seeing that lila directly through our ears. And when we go to Vrindavan, we may not be able to see with our eyes, but when we hear, the faith that we attain through hearing, we can actually perceive the lila of the Lord through our ears into our heart. And we can love the holy Dham on that level. So this is the difference between the impersonalists and the Vaishnavas' interpretation of aprakat and prakat. Now this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is very, very wonderful and very beautiful because it describes exactly when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and when Sri Krishna comes. Sometimes people say, my guru, he is Krishna. Huh? He is Krishna. But here is the Shastric evidence who Krishna is and when he appears. This you must take note very carefully.
Brahmara eka dine tino ekabar avatya na hoya karin prakata vihar.
Once in a day of Brahma, Krishna descends to this world to manifest his transcendental pastimes. He comes once in a day of Brahma. And now he explains exactly when.
Satya Treta Dwapar Kali Chari Yuga Jani Se Chari Yuga Divya Eka Yuga Mani.
We know that there are four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapar, and Kali. These four together comprise one Divya Yuga.
Ekatara chatur yuge ekaman bantara chauda man bantara brahmar divasa bhitara.
Everyone listen. 71 divya yugas constitute one manvantar. And there are 14 manvantars in one day of Brahma. Report. A manvantara is the period controlled by one manu. The reign of 14 manus equals the length of one day, 12 hours in the life of Brahma. And the night of Brahma is the same duration. These calculations are given in the authentic astronomy book known as the Surya Siddhanta. This book was compiled by the great professor of astronomy and mathematics, Bimala Prasad Dutt, later known as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, who is our merciful spiritual master. He was honored with the title Siddhanta Saraswati for writing the Surya Siddhanta, and the title Goswami Maharaj was added when he accepted sannyas, the renounced order of life. Once again, Krishna appears in once in a day of Brahma. There are four yugas together which compose one Divya Yuga. 71 Divya Yugas, that means 71 Yuga cycles, equals one Manvantara. And there are 14 Manvantaras in one day of Brahma. What is a manvantar? It means that there are 14 manus that live within one day of Brahma, and each 71 Divya Yuga is a different manu is in charge of all of humanity and the universal affairs.
Vaivashvata nama e saptama vantar sataisha chatur yuga tahara antar.
The present Manu, who is the seventh, is called Vaivashvat. He is the son of Vivashvan. 27 Divya Yugas of his age have now passed. One Divya Yuga equals 4,320,000 solar years. Solar years is one Divya Yuga. Each Manvantar lives 72 such Divya Yugas. 71 such Divya Yugas. This particular Manvantar Manu is Vaivashvat, and he is now in his 27th Divya Yuga. Means approximately half of his life. Report. The names of the 14 Manus are as follows. 1. Swayambhuva. 2. Swarochasa. 3. Uttama. 4. Tamasa. 5. Raivata. 6. Chakshusha. 7. Vaivashvat. 8. Savarni. 9. Daksa Savarni. 10. Brahma Savarni. 11. Dharma Savarni. 12. Rudraputra. 13 Rochya and 14 Bhotaka.
Ashtavimsha chatur yuge dvapare sheshe vrajera sahite hoya krishnara prakashe.
At the end of the Dwapara Yuga, of the 28th Divya Yuga, Lord Krishna appears on earth with the full paraphernalia of his eternal Brajadham. Purport. Now is the term of Vaivashvat Manu, during which Lord Chaitanya appears. First Krishna appears at the close of Dwapara Yuga of the 28th Divya Yuga, and then Lord Chaitanya appears in the Kali Yuga of the same Divya Yuga. Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya appear once in each day of Brahma, or once in 14 Manvantars, each of 71 Divya Yugas in duration. From the beginning of Brahma's day of 4,320,000 years, six Manus appear and disappear before Lord Krishna appears. Thus, 1,975,320,000 years of the day of Brahma elapse before the appearance of Lord Krishna. This is an astronomical calculation according to solar years. Does everyone follow that? So here is it describing exactly when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears once in every day of Brahma, just following Krishna's appearance. It's pretty regulated in this sense. Krishna always appears during the time of Vaivashvat Manu, at the end of the 28th Divya Yuga, I mean, at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, of the 28th of the 72 Divya Yugas of Vaivashvatmanu, Krishna appears. And in that same Kali, in the Kali Yuga of that same Divya Yuga, Lord Chaitanya will appear. So how, just think how fortunate we are. We are so close. Prabhupada explains here that Lord Chaitanya appears. He says 1,975,320,000 years. And he's only appeared 500 years ago. Krishna's only appeared 5,000 years ago. So really, that's why Prabhupada, he had a completely different conception of time than mundane historians. When Prabhupada would often say, and just recently the Lord appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 500 years ago. He speaks this in America. America only became a country 200 years ago. 1776, I think it was, America became a country. And 1492, it was discovered, so-called discovered, by the Europeans. And that's like very, very ancient history in the American textbooks. But Prabhupada says, just recently, he's talking like half hour before, just recently the Lord appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And sometimes he would say, just recently Krishna has appeared as 5,000 years ago. Considering how rare, once in a day of Brahma, does the Lord appear. Considering this, very recent. And our disciplic line, how we see that there's only Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami. And then there's Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakrabarti, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gorkhashur Das Babaji, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Vedanta Swami. We find that they're very recent, these Acharyas, very recent. How fortunate we are that we have appeared, that we have taken to this Krishna consciousness movement while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is still so fresh within this world. So how much we should take full advantage, not waste a moment absorbing the mercy of the great Acharyas and knowing how infinitely rare it is to get the opportunity to receive the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is, as Rupa Goswami is explaining here, the most merciful. He appears so rarely, but he's the most merciful, because in this avatar he distributes Krishna consciousness in its highest level of conjugal love so freely to everyone. So how much we should, if we understand the value of what we have, we will take proper advantage of it. If we do not understand the value of something we have, we will waste it. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is trying to explain and convince us of the infinite, immense, unlimited value of what we have and how rare this fortune is of the jewel of Lord Gauranga's avatar's mercy upon us. Why does he stress this so much? So knowing the value, the rareness, and the preciousness of this mercy, we do not waste it. Not even a moment. Is there any questions? Yes.
The incarnation of Krishna and Chaitanya is not every Kali Yuga and Bhagavad.
One day of Brahma.
In all other 74 Kali Yuga.
Krishna and Lord Chaitanya do not appear every Kali Yuga. Seventy-one times 14. one out of those he appears. Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna at the end of the Dwapara Yuga? Once in a day, approach.
And does he also appear in
that
the
mean, that means Krishna appears once every 4,320,000 years. No, I'm sorry. Once every 4,320,000,000 years, Krishna appears. 4,320,000 years is one Divi Yuga. Prabhupada says every 4,320,000,000 years, once Krishna appears. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes just after him. Not necessarily. But some of these incarnations incarnate every yuga cycle. Some, it's not. In other words, we have to understand from the scripture when Krishna only appears once in a day of Kali. In every Brahmand in the universe.
But you said that somewhere,
so you can imagine how many universes there are.
Yeah, in this particular Brahmand.
In every Brahmanda, he only comes once in a day of Brahma. In every universe, he comes once in a day of Brahma. And the fact that there's always somewhere where he's performing some lila, you can understand there are innumerable, countless universes. Huh?
Now we say that this particular lila is taking place now also.
Mm.
When we are saying this, Krishna will be in Mathura.
That is the difference between aprakat and prakat. He becomes prakat once every day of Brahma. But his aprakat is eternal. In the holy dhams. It is always going on.
Does he appear at this particular seventh, or is it any time?
No, he always appears during Vaivashvatmana. Always appears at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, during the 28th Divya Yuga of Vaivashvatmana. As Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Doesn't necessarily mean every yuga cycle. He appears in Kali Yuga, but it doesn't mean every Kali Yuga.
Krishna is not somebody
else. That we will discuss in another class. Yes? Does it say Vaivashvatmana? It says Vivashvan. Vivashvan, not Vaivashvatmana. Vaivashvatmana is the son of Vivashvan. That's correct. That Vivashvan spoke to his son, who is Vaivashvatmana. Spoken to him, yes. And that's why Krishna says, because he was speaking in the during the time of Vaivashvatmanu. That is the manu that Vivashvan spoke to. He spoke to his son Ikshvaku, and later gradually it became lost. So Krishna was reinstating that dharma. What is the meaning of eternal? He cannot understand. Eternal means the constitutional nature of everything that exists. Everything is ultimately eternal. There is, the Jivatma is eternal. Bhagavan, the Paramatma, is eternal. Material energy is eternal. But the manifestations of within material energy are temporary. Time is eternal. The only thing that is not eternal is karma. The law of karma is eternal, but the manifestations of one's karma are temporary. So there are temporary manifestations, but they are all within eternal energies. They are all being conducted through material and eternal energies. The meaning of eternal is that there is the jayate mriyate bhakadachinna yandutva vapatavana bhuya. Krishna defines eternal. There is no birth, there is no death. There is no beginning, there is no end. Krishna's nashato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate shata ubhayora vidristantas vanayosvati darshan. Those who are seers of the truth, they understand that what is real has no beginning and no end, has no cessation. And that which is unreal has no endurance. So this is Krishna's definition of what is eternal. Without birth, without death, without beginning, without end, ever existing. It applies in many ways. In the spiritual world of Goloka, everything is eternal. The Leelas are always going on in Goloka, so therefore it is Nitya Leela. And just like every Leela is going out in Goloka, but except the killing of demons. But there are different sections of Goloka. In some sections, Krishna is a baby, and Vatsalya Rasa is taking place. In some sections, Krishna is a Kishore age, and the conjugal Rasa is taking place. So the Leelas of the Lord are always being enacted. Krishna's always a baby, he's always Poganda, he's always Kishore in Goloka. But the most inclusive form of the Lord is Kishore. Therefore, it's considered the highest, because all the rasas are within Kishore. Whereas his Balya Leela, his Poganda Leela, his Balya Leela, there's only one ras, that's Vatsalya. His Poganda Leela is Sakiras. But in Kishore, all the rasas are included. Therefore, that is considered his highest form. And that is the predominant form in Goloka. But at the same time, all the forms are existing simultaneously in Goloka. So all the pastimes in all of these different periods of his life are eternally taking place always in Goloka. And in that sense, the Leela is eternal. And in this material cosmos, there is always a place where Krishna is performing every one of his leelas, somewhere in the universe. There's never a time when Krishna is not stealing butter in this cosmos, in the Brahmanda. There is never a time when he is not killing, when Balaram is not killing Denugasura. There is never a time when Krishna is not killing Vyomasura. There's never a time when Krishna is not dancing with gopis. Somewhere in the universe, he's enacting those pastimes, prakat, in other words, visible to the eyes of the people of that place. So in this sense also, within this material world, his Leela is eternal. It's always taking place. There's never a beginning and an end. When Krishna kills Putana, it appears like an end, but then he's killing her somewhere else. As soon as he kills her in one place, he's killing her somewhere else. So there's no end to his killing Putana. So that means it's an eternal Leela. And if there's no end, that means there's no beginning. That means there's always... It's not that he just started killing Putana when he comes to this universe. Before this, he was doing it again. Somewhere else, again. Huh? So every Leela of his is always going on. That means there is no beginning, there is no end. There is no birth, there is no death. That is eternal. That is Nitya Leela. Different jivatmas can take that form of putana. Yes? Vaibhashvatmanu. Vaibhashvatmanu. That we are in the 28th Divya Yuga of the life of Vaibhashvatmanu, Kali Yuga. Yes? Tato Panditji?
That means we are also becoming devotee, floating again, becoming
You should not think so highly of yourself. Your blooping is not Krishna's Leela. Therefore you should not bloop. This is the temporary manifestations of Maya, that we come under the control of illusion. This is not the eternal Leela of the Lord. We can enter into the eternal Leela of the Lord. But our problem is we have left behind the eternal Leela of the Lord to try to taste the illusory pleasures of this finite world. Although the soul is eternal, we have forgotten our eternal relationship with Krishna. So therefore we are completely immersed at this time in the finite. That means we've completely forgotten the eternal. We've become servant of the illusory energy. Therefore we cannot appreciate the supreme bliss of the eternal spiritual energy. So our falling down is not the Leela of Krishna. Our leaving Krishna is not Krishna's Leela at all. It is our misuse of independence. Krishna gives his sanction that we could leave his Leela if we like. And enter into the material modes of material nature. So these people who say, oh, it's all Leela, when they're talking about their own material pursuits, that is foolishness. That is taking everything cheaply. This is the precious gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although it's so difficult, he has made it so easy. And he only appears so rarely to bring forth this easy message. Just chant the holy name. It's his promise. You just chant the holy name and properly follow the guidance that he is giving us through his devotees. We will achieve something beyond. We can achieve Goloka, which is far beyond all of the yugas and divya yugas and manvantaras. There's 71 divya yugas in one manvantar. And there's 14 manvantars, that's what you forgot. So it's 14 times greater than what you were speculating on. Huh? But simply by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, by chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Krishna takes us beyond the relativities of time and space, brings us again into his divine leela. You cannot do it. It's impossible for you. You are so infinitesimally small. Krishna is so great. And Maya is as powerful as Krishna, because she's Krishna's energy. We have no hope. We simply have to take shelter and call out the holy name. And it is Krishna's promise. That is not so difficult. Is it? This is the rare gift that only comes once in a day of Brahma. Once every 4,320,000,000 years. And it's been given to us on a golden platter by the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. You should not waste the opportunity. As I was saying, when you understand the worth of something, you are not neglectful. Something that's just very cheap, easy to get, you neglect it. But something that is very, very impossible to achieve and you'll never get another one again, you'll be very cautious, very careful to take best care of it. The gift of the seed of bhakti in the school of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most precious, rare gift, all of creation. And it's been given to us by the mercy of Guru. Brahmanda Bhagavata Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija. That after wandering through universes, through many, many universes, one achieves the seat of bhakti by the mercy of Guru. Water it carefully by chanting the holy names. We have to guard it carefully by our obedience to the order of Guru. Is there any other questions?
Yes, when Krishna enacts his pastimes in different universes, his eternal associates, they also manifest in different universes, same personality or they are different?
Both. As eternal associates, they expand themselves from Goloka. It's not that they leave Goloka. They expand themselves, Goloka, into all of these universes to assist Krishna in his pastime. But also the Jivatmas who have become liberated in pure devotional service, they also enter into those pastimes. When a Jivatma becomes purified through Krishna consciousness, he does not go back to Goloka. First he goes to the Gokula, where Krishna is manifesting a pastime in a particular universe. He's always. So whenever you become Krishna conscious, if you become a pure devotee of the Lord and you die, you go to, there's always somewhere where Krishna is enacting his leela. So you go there. And there you, two things happen. One is you get trained into your constitutional ras again. And then after, when Krishna closes that leela, then you go back to Goloka. And two is, although you're a pure devotee, still, you get to play with Krishna and go in that universe, but you still have your independence. It's like the final test. If you just intimately take part in Krishna's leela as per his desire, then you go back to Goloka. But if again you start thinking in terms of separate interests, then you're again plunged back into material consciousness. Huh? But you will not plunge back You will go back to Gauda. The original Krishna is always in Goloka, but he expands himself. There's no difference. The Krishna that appeared in Vrindavan is no different than the original Krishna. He's not an expansion, he's not an incarnation, he is the origin. Questions? Yes. That is the process. It's for not so much for extra purification, but for becoming once again united in your eternal lila in a gradual way and then going back. In other words, we have an eternal relationship with Krishna and when that's awakened we first are trained in the sense by this, whether we're a gopi, we're trained by the manjaris and the sakis in Gokul. And then when we're nicely trained, then we go back to Goloka. Huh? In other words, even in your purest state, you're always a servant. You're always learning.
That is why I said that the beings and the sects who are hovering around Krishna Goloka, that the great sages have usually realized, getting an opportunity to come past times to Krishna, and then go back to.
Yes. Everyone who is in Krishna's lila assisting him in Gokula will go back to Goloka. There are different varieties of gopis. There's different categories of gopis. Some gopis have descended from Goloka. They are never conditioned souls. Some are directly expansions of Sri Radhika. The Sakis are direct expansions of Sri Radhika. Others, they have never been conditioned, they never will be conditioned. They simply come to assist.